Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we have a whopper-sized episode for everyone. We're going to chat a little bit about our way too early 2022 power rankings, our top five team predictions for 2022, but we are also going to be reacting to all of the transfer news that has been taking place recently ahead of the expansion and NWSL draft. Before we get into all that, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. You can also head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe so that you never miss a new video, an interview, or whenever we go live. Plus, you can catch great extended NWSL highlights on youtube.com/attackingthird. Also, in case you haven't noticed, Spotify Wrapped is out. So if you give your top songs and top podcasts for the year and let us know that Attacking Third is in your top podcast, just tweet at us. We want to know. We want to hear from you. That stuff is exciting. I know Lisa and I were checking out our Spotify Wrapped, and there were some moments of like Attacking Third in there. But is there anything that like you maybe felt a little guilty was on there, Lisa? Like, I know that there's some people who are like, oh no, I'm getting exposed by Spotify right now.
I'm not exposed at all. I had Taylor Swift in my top, and I'm a proud Taylor Swift fan. Also, of course, Attacking Third, but also Kay Galazzo, my home that I started with at CBS. Kay Galazzo, I still tune into that show for Attacking Third that covers soccer in the Premier League and UEFA, and Luis, my buddy. That was in my top. But yeah, Taylor Swift. No, I'm not exposed by that. I'm a fan. And
I love it. Say it proudly. I'm into that. My favorite stat was that I was like in the 1% of like Bad Bunny's top listeners. And I was like, yes, I am. Yes. Correct. That is correct. But yeah, let us know. We're excited to see. A few people have already kind of, we saw that. A couple of Twitter users have already sort of let us know in our mentions that they've been with us since the beginning of this. And it's crazy to think that we have over 60 episodes and we only launched in July of 2021.
We're getting our 100th episode. It's coming up right now. We're at like 92 93, I think, is really where we're at for podcast episodes. Yeah, I'm pumped for our 100th. We got big
things. I know. It's insane. And I think it's a little maybe that's a good transition because we're going to talk about maybe some of the chaos here. So what we're going to do this is we're going to sort of walk everybody through this in a certain kind of way. So what Lisa and I have done for this episode is we have talked about what we think could possibly be a power rankings for 2022. And power rankings are just based on like our perceptions of what, you know, we're looking at from the performances of this prior season and like who we think can maybe make a leap or a drop into next year. And we're going to get a chance to talk about these teams in a way that they're not actually impacted from some of the trades that have been happening this week. And I know you and I, Lisa, are really excited about it because it's also going to give us the opportunity to really take a look at those two new expansion teams that maybe on paper prior to some of these trades, it's like, well, how can you really rank an expansion side? There's always that historical component to it where it's like, listen, anytime there's been an expansion franchise in the NWSL, they've struggled a little bit out of the gate, but there's a little bit of a different energy in this as this offseason window and transfer window has sort of kicked off. Are you excited to get to chatting about all this?
Oh, I'm so excited. We knew the off season was going to be nuts. And we had already discussed this type of podcast where we look ahead to 2022 and put out our quote, way too early power rankings, because how can you really tell what a team is going to do next season? But we can, and we can tell. And now that all these trades have slowly been happening and slowly emerging, it changes a little bit of what we're looking at and what we're looking at for the future. I'm pumped to dive into it. We're going to give you guys our top five, but we are going to touch on every single team. And as Sandra mentioned, now 12 teams in the NWSL, which is huge, welcoming San Diego and Angel City. I love it. I love that there are now 12 teams. Heck yeah.
I know. Me too. Let's hop right into it. So probably unshockingly to a lot of people out there, number one for our top five teams, we've got Washington Spirit. We went with the 2021 NWSL champions. You know, that team, once they win the big one in the end, right, that team always has that particular team always has a little bit of a target on their back, right, going into the next season, because they're the team to take down. And that is the Washington Spirit in this case. So 2021 champions, they have a mix of, you know, they have a mix of experienced veterans, right? But this really young core of players that we had a blast covering during the 2021 season, players who are only going to continue to improve, right, and get better with time as they grow and as professionals in the league. Trinity Rodman, we talked a lot about. She's the 2021 Rookie of the Year. Players like Ashley Sanchez, and I would even include somebody like an Andy Sullivan in that mix. Someone who's, you know, got drafted by this club and has sort of been in this DC area system for some time. But in terms of the offseason news impacting our number one power ranked team, Lisa, there's some discussions right now we've seen out there, right, rumored and reported that interim head coach Chris Ward hasn't been named officially head coach, but there are ongoing conversations, right, or preliminary conversations about that. And in terms of the player side of things, this team has made a trade with one of those expansion sides. So Tegan McGrady was traded to San Diego Wave FC, and there is a bit of roster protection within that for Washington Spirit, and some picks that were shuffled in the mix as well. But in your perspective, sort of seeing like how we picked them to jump, and then kind of looking into this week and sort of seeing the rumored conversations about Chris Ward, and then seeing them trade out one of those young promising players that we were talking about, are you still sort of feeling confident in our pick here at number one?
I am. How can you not pick Washington Spirit as the number one power ranked team for next year? Even if you look at this team with horse blinders on and you look at just maybe them winning the championship. Okay, yes, they're going to be in our top five for 2022. But also, if you take off those horse blinders and you look at the evolution of this team over the last year or two, even, I think at the start of the 2021 season, Sandra, they were your dark horse to make it to the playoffs. They won the whole thing. They did it. And not a lot of people saw that coming. Not only did they have coaching change in the middle of their season and all of the adversity that they faced off the pitch, but Chris Ward came in as the interim head coach of this team and changed everything. This team went from inconsistent and lots of ups and downs and trying to mold these new players to a veteran team to finding consistency, having a coach that really looked at all players on the roster, not just the starters, to kind of change things up on the field, to read the play. We spoke with Tegan McGrady, who is now headed to San Diego, but one thing that she really emphasized about this team and interim head coach Chris Ward is that you never really knew who was going to be in the starting lineup. And I think that kind of energy keeps a team fresh, especially as you go into a new season with new competition, with expansion clubs coming in. They also have Rookie of the Year, Trinity Rodman, on this squad, and Ashley Hatch, incredible goalkeepers and defense. But it's really the players that aren't the superstars that make so much work for this Washington Spirit team and allow them to be humble, which allows them to grow and not expect that they're going to win every single game and go out and fight and scrap. I keep Washington Spirit at the top of my list for next season. As it stands, of course, they're number one for me.
You know, I think one of the other components of like watching all of these trades unfold is that the fact that the expansion draft this year is essentially a double expansion draft. You know that there's two teams in the mix vying for players, right? From remaining clubs in the league. So with this move for Tegan McGrady to San Diego Wave, it only maybe kind of gives them partial, right? Partial protection, right? There's still, I'm sure people are like curious about like what's going to happen with Angel City. Is Washington Spirit just going to, you know, go ahead and pursue, you know, the regular role in an expansion draft, or are they going to be a continuation of potential rumors and trades and moves like that? Because we're starting to see that a lot with those two particular expansion teams, that teams are clearly reaching out, right, and trying to gauge interest and then kind of maybe making their decision based off of that. So we'll see. I'm excited to take a look and see what else happens for the remaining teams. I think if you're Washington Spirit, though, maybe you do try to gauge something, perhaps, you know, because like we've talked a lot about it, there's a lot of promising players on that team. And if Angel City is still looking, right, maybe you are trying to still have those conversations with that team as well. But let's move on. Let's take a look at our number two team that we went with, Lisa. And number two in our way too early power rankings, we have OL Reign. So we chose OL Reign. We chose them knowing that the team was going to look different. This was a team that really had this amazing secondhand push, and they went ahead with some phenomenal performances from their French players, right? Players that they got on loan from Olympique Lyon. And we're talking about, you know, Sarah Bouadi in goal, Jennifer Marozan, Eugenie Le Sommer. And they had Laura Harvey join them midseason as well. And they just went on this epic, epic run all the way to the 2021 semifinal. But looking back at some of the verbiage on those initial contracts, right? Lisa talked a little bit about how those players were going to be with the club through December 2021. It's officially December 2021. And there hasn't been an official word, right, on those players, but considering the original wording, the loan is completed and done. So I'm a little curious as to how this team is going to look when those three players played such a key role in that push to the semifinals. Do you think potentially, you know, not knowing how they're going to replace those players is going to, like, we're going to come back and look at this number two spot and say, ooh, yikes, we shouldn't have put them at number two? What's your vibe around OL Reign right now?
I do maybe foresee us saying that come next June, July, when the season is almost halfway done. But this OL Reign team, even if you look back at the 2021 season, at the start of the season, they really weren't anything special. They didn't have that much going for them. But it takes time and it takes games and day in and day out for teams to find that momentum. And once OL Reign hit their stride, they didn't slow down. They had a lot of ups and downs, but then once they got going, it was win after win after win, riding them all the way into a number two spot for a first round bye in the 2021 playoffs. So because of that, also coupling that with the fact that Laura Harvey stepped into coach in the middle of the season, and since she stepped in, named coach of the year, she had a tremendous run with the team. Her being there and now being able to kind of craft her team with the expansion draft, potentially understanding what's going to happen there. And then the college draft and looking at different players to come on loan or to be traded throughout the league. I believe that Laura Harvey can put together a really fantastic team. And even if she doesn't get the players with incredible skill, even though she already has a lot on her roster that are very individually talented, she has the mindset to be able to move people around in different formations, think outside the box, and put the best combination of players together on the field. So I hope that we don't regret putting OL Reign at number two, but I honestly don't think we will, because they've proven that they can really do anything on the field and surprise a lot of different people in the league and around the world with who they get. And who knows, maybe they'll get some more loan players next season. It's very possible. But I like to keep OL Reign at number two right now. It's despite not knowing. And that's the best part about this episode is that we have no idea and we get to speculate and hope we're right.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, even with those three big players, they still have a ton of talent on that roster. Somebody like a Bethany Balser, right? Somebody like a Sofia Huerta, Quinn in the midfield for them. Jess Fishlock, who's been with the team for a very, very long time. And I'm also just sort of curious to see like how Laura Harvey gets involved in this offseason as well, because she has historically not been somebody who has really utilized the drafts in the past. It was almost a little bit of a NWSL, you know, culture type of joke where it's like, oh, is Laura Harvey actually going to make a trade to trade out of the draft, right? So I'm very curious to sort of see how you know, she utilizes her sort of GM cap and this offseason, because there's been a couple, you know, a couple seasons already where Laura Harvey's been absent from the action, and now she's making her return. So I'm excited to see what she's got in the mix for this team. For number three, maybe we're actually getting into a little bit of rivalry waters here. We've got Portland Thorns FC in our way too early power rankings. We understand, again, we're talking a little bit about this already, but looking at this Portland Thorns team as it stands heading into 2022, similar to All Reign, there's some unknowns. You know, there are rumors of the MVP candidate in Angela Salem potentially stepping away from the game. Crystal Dunn said at the end of the season, as the Portland Thorns were heading on to their playoff run, that she is expecting her first child with her husband, so she will be out due to pregnancy. And there have been those longstanding rumors of a player like Lindsay Huron to possibly seek opportunities overseas in France. And not only that, there was a huge change in the head coaching position, which a lot of people knew was coming already because the club had gotten in front of it. And the departure of Mark Parsons came after 6 years with the Thorns at the conclusion of their 2021 run in the semifinals there. And they have made some moves, right, in this offseason already, but it hasn't necessarily been on the player side of things. Mm-hmm. So we had an interview with Karina LeBlanc on the show, who is now their new general manager. They have made the official announcement of their new head coach and Ryan Wilkinson, who the both of them together will have to tackle this offseason. Both of them, Canadian, former Canadian internationals and former Thorns players. So we're going to get a chance to see how they're going to fill those spots of their own potentially moving forward into 2022. But Mark Parsons has sort of left what's a little bit of a blueprint, I think, maybe for this team. This is another team maybe similar to Washington Spirit that we can look at that has a young core in place. And a big thing that was talked about with the Portland Thorns during their 2021 run was that they had so much depth on the roster. So we're looking at players like Tyler Lucy, who got picked up in the 2017 draft, Bella Bixey in the 2018 draft, Morgan Weaver and Sophia Smith, both in the 2020 draft. And then there's somebody like Olivia Moultrie, who's literally come up through their, you know, academy youth programs. So I'm feeling pretty good about keeping the Thorns at number three. They've always sort of had this culture with they constantly want to compete. So I wouldn't be surprised if they are definitely in the mix in the regular table. And I don't think we're going to have regrets having them sort of in the top three in this power ranking.
Remember, Portland Thorns won three of the four awards that they could have won in the 2021 season. They won the Challenge Cup, they won the Shield, they won the WICC. They know how to win, and they have that winning culture and the winning history. I think that despite player movement and things that are happening, I think losing Mark Parsons, head coach, is probably one of the biggest factors that maybe puts Portland at number three on this list and not number one or number two, because he has those players that he drafted in Tyler Lucy, Bella Bixby, Morgan Weaver, Sophia Smith, that he drafted to have this culture. Mark Parsons always talks about the identity of his team and the cultures and the players buying into that type of culture. And he acquires those players at the youth program and through the academy. And he really molds them to be the type of Thorns that he wants to coach and the type of identity that he wants his team to have. And now having Rain Wilkinson at the helm as the head coach, we could see that identity shifting because she could have a different foundation that she wants to build this club on and her tenure there as a head coach. And that could look very different. Even having Carina LeBlanc as the GM, there could be shifts in personnel that we see, stylistic tactics that we see. But as you mentioned, Sandra, the depth at Portland is there, and they do have a lot of very talented players that can do a number of different things. So even if Wilkinson does want to change up tactics and formation, she still has such a core group of talented players to work with that gives her the flexibility, honestly, to change anything up that she wants. So I think we have to keep Portland in the top of our five teams because they are notorious for winning and doing well, and players are just bought in. There's something about going and playing at Portland Thorns that players want to do, knowing that the home atmosphere they have, and we can't forget the 12th man in Providence Park, right? Like those fans, they give the Thorns a lift whenever they're on the field. So I'm very happy and pleased to keep Portland right at number three, despite all of the changes happening in the league right now.
I'm with you. Let's get to our final two here. At number four, we're putting New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC at number four of our way too early power rankings. We were just very impressed with the run that they had in 2021. This is a team that did it with two different head coaches, right? In 2021, starting off the year with former head coach Freya Kuhn, who they lost later into the midseason due to opportunity with Angel City. And then they brought on Scott Parkinson from formerly an assistant at Chicago Red Stars. And they went on this amazing run. They started off as finalists, right, in the 2021 Challenge Cup, and then went on to compete in the regular season, always really kind of staying within that top six mix, never really out of the conversation. And even though it took until that final week of the regular season to ultimately clinch their place in the NWSL playoffs, they went ahead and they did that. And a big part of how they did what did that was seeing that return and somebody like Margaret Purse, who came back from injury, was a huge bump for them and a boost down the stretch in that playoff push. And this was a player that they made a trade for already a couple of seasons ago. But you can already see some of the payoff there. And if it's not even just on the pitch, it's off the pitch as well. The culture, the identity that is being built up around Gotham FC in connection with a player like Margaret Purse, and also in somebody like Amani Dorsey and somebody like Enifio Anamanu. So I think even with the some of the limited things that we've been seeing in this offseason, Lisa, like they've been announcing just the typical things, like players that they are not going to be extending the options on their contracts, players whose loans have completed and now they're moving on, right? There hasn't been like a big move here or there yet, right? The keyword is yet. But even with all of that in mind, I feel good with having Gotham here at number four. I think they only have room to grow. They got eliminated in quarterfinals, and I think it's up and outwards from here versus taking a step back. How about you?
Yeah, number four is definitely the highest I think I would ever put Gotham in the rankings for the 2022 season, because there is a lot of room to grow, but they had a lot of the pieces towards the end of this season. They did make it into the playoffs, but couldn't really find the final piece for them to make it all the way and to have that final push. They had a lot of even keeledness in their game and in their club. That's kind of what I'm going to say. That's how I'm going to word this. It was very even. You knew what you were going to get. You knew what you expected from Gotham. There weren't really any surprises that came from it. You had good players in Margaret Purse that continuously did well. And defensively, they were a lockdown, but they had their slip up moments and back and forth times for Gotham. But really, it was the same day in and day out. Whereas when you look at other teams, even Washington Spirit, yes, of course they won, so that gives them a little bit of an edge, but they had a lot of young players and you didn't really know what you were going to get. And they had a lot of spunk and a lot of attitude. So for Gotham, I think having Scott Parkinson did change things a little bit for this team based on what they could do. It was also a big year in 2021 for Carly Lloyd saying goodbye. And now the emotional aspect of that is out the window. And now it's time to focus for Gotham. What can they do on the pitch to make themselves stand out? Because their standout in 2021 was the rebrand. They had kits and colors and a new name in Gotham FC. now 2022, this is the year where this team can take their identity on the field and match it to their rebrand. Can they be just as exciting and just as fresh and new to the league, especially going up against some big competition across the coast? I think that also plays a little bit of a factor into this, because Gotham now not only will have to travel to Portland and Washington and OL Reign, but two other teams on the West Coast, and those big cross-country travels, time changes, it all plays a factor. But lots of talented players and lots of talented pieces at Gotham FC that they'll make a run for a playoff push by the end of the 22 season.
I hear that. And you know what? I like that. That is a good segue to our number five pick, because we kind of view this number five, this fifth, this top five pick as like a dark horse pick for us. And we wanted to be a little bit ambitious with this one. But even within that ambition, after the Washington Spirit went and did what they did, is I chose them as my dark horse. I'm like, you know what? I feel good about this one too. And we're going to get into why. We're going with Kansas City Current as our number five in the power rankings for our dark horse pick. They're already making moves in the offseason. And really, this kind of stemmed a little bit from their second half of the season. This was a franchise that recognized immediately the place that they were in. They were in the bottom half of the table for the majority of the first half of the second of the season. And they knew during the second season it was going to be a long grind. And they started looking ahead a little bit. They made moves in the midseason. They brought players in like Kristen Hamilton, Haley Mace. They made a huge move for their goalkeeper in Adriana French. And now in the offseason, they're continuing those things. In their final game, they also had the rebrand. They introduced the logo, the crest, emphasizing the colors and the new name. But they moved things around in the administrative side of things. Hugh Williams is no longer the head coach of this team. Kansas City is currently in the process of a search for a new head coach. Tough first year, moving him into more of a front office administrative role. And obviously, we have to talk about it, Lisa. The biggest push, I think, for us putting this team in number five was the fact that they went out and made a trade for Sam Mewis in the midfield, because that now gives them three huge players in three key areas of the pitch. And it just sort of felt in that second half run of Kansas City when they were playing that spoiler, it was like, gosh, it's like, what would it look like if they maybe had like one more piece or another piece there? And I think we're about to see it. I love this pick, Lisa. I'm glad we left that at number five.
Me too. The hype for Kansas City really started at the second half, the end of the 2021 season. That's when all the buzz was starting to happen. And Sandra, you and I, we talked about it. I was like, I cannot wait to see this Kansas City team next season. Once they've had a little bit of time to establish themselves, once they've gathered the right pieces and the right players, because you could already see what the potential was from Kansas City Current at the end of the season, being so disruptive to the playoff runs of every single team that they faced towards the end of it. And it wasn't just the home field advantage that they had. It was this little chip on their shoulder that Kansas City is last in the league and they can do anything. I think because of that, the players were so bought into the mindset of this underdog wrecking ball team that they could be, that's just going to roll over into next season, because not a lot of people are going to have their eyes on Kansas City because of what they didn't do in the 2021 season. And as you mentioned, already this team is changing things for the better. Hugh Williams, a great guy, from every time I spoke with him, I don't know elsewise, but probably not the best choice for the head coach, more of a GM role, front office role for him, which I think is a good move for this club. They need someone that can be really keyed in on the players on this team and be so invested into building a club that can succeed. And that starts with a new head coach. We've already seen, as you mentioned, the trades happening. Getting Sam Mewis in the midfield for Kansas City is so huge. She is a playmaker on the ball, off the ball, her movement. I think her combined with Kristen Hamilton, even a Haley Mace that they acquired throughout the season, in the midfield, Sam Mewis alongside Lo Labonta, fire. That is fire right there. And the magic that can happen. And it's just the mindset of this team is that underdog mentality that makes you think that they're going to surprise you by the end of the season and just be at the top. So I'm also saying I don't think that this Kansas City team is going to come out and start the 2022 season going on a 10-0 streak, winning streak, just crushing all of their opponents. I don't foresee that happening. However, I could foresee a lot of clean sheets happening, especially if they keep Adriana Franch in goal. That is a huge get for them because your team really needs to be built around defense and putting a brick wall in front of the goal. That's the best way to do it. Now, can they turn that into consistent attacking offense? Honestly, yes. With players in the midfield like Sam Lewis that they just acquired, can create a lot of different things. So hands down, Kansas City dark horse for 2022. I see it. I see the Kansas City current making their way towards the top of the table.
I'm with you 100%. And honestly, we were really focused on our top five for sure. Numbers 6 through 12, I gotta let the people know, Lisa, we weren't too tied down into 6 through 12 on who exactly we thought was going to sort of shake things out in terms of the power ranking, which is funny because, you know, it's like, oh, top six teams go to the playoffs. But even at that number six spot, let's just go through this really quickly. We'll actually go 6 through 12, and then we'll just sort of maybe talk about some of the teams within that. At number six, we had Houston Dash. At number seven, we're going ambitious one more time and locking in Angel City FC at number seven. We've got Chicago Red Stars falling to number eight, North Carolina Courage at number nine, San Diego Wave FC at number 10, Racing Louisville at number 11, and Orlando Pride at number 12. So people are probably going to feel some type of way about it when they take a listen to these. But hey, we're just trying to have some fun here. But in terms of this number 6 through number 12, Lisa, who are you? What's a team that you want to point out and maybe fixate on a little bit and make a case for them?
I want to start with the Houston Dash because we did subconsciously put them at number six because they were so close in the 2021 season. Yeah. They just missed out on the playoffs. They got knocked out right at the very end, the very last game. And I think they have a really promising future ahead of them. They have a team that's been established. They were the underdogs in the 2020 Challenge Cup, winning that. So they have that taste of winning and the taste that they can continue to go on. They don't have all of the pieces, though. That's why they're not in our top five. They have good players. Signing Michelle Prince with a contract through the 2024 season is huge. I think Michelle Prince is a player that you can really build an offense around on this team. They also have players like Rachel Daly, Shea Groom, that are really bought into the Houston Dash mentality and that community. This season was rough with all of the Olympics play and losing players that happened. Houston Dash being the team that lost the most players in the 2021 season due to international play. But because of that, I think it will make them stronger for the 2022 season. However, still not in that top five, but a team that could make a push and we could see being a bit of those underdogs, having those games that can upset opponents and knock players off. Almost playing that wrecking ball mentality that Kansas City played at the end of the 21 season. So Houston Dash, I think they're a team that you have to keep an eye on for sure next year.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that 100%. They remained that type of team during this 2021 season as well. And I'm sure they're going to have that last final moment sort of circled as motivation for them. The fact that they got eliminated from playoffs on a tiebreaker. That is tough. I like having him at number six.
It is really rough to see how he got knocked out there, but I think it'll almost spark a little bit of joy for them for next season. Sandra, I have to ask you, Chicago Red Stars, we put them at number eight. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Let's talk about it both. We went Angel City number seven and Chicago Red Stars number eight. And I think because of these two teams, and it's just hilarious how this worked out, Lisa, because we were contemplating this before all of this trade news dropped. And it's kind of ironic that we've got them in our power rankings at 7 and 8, because between the two of these teams, they engaged in some trades to sort of, you know, ahead of the expansion draft to sort of settle things out and iron things out, right? So Angel City was a team that only had one player on it. And when we were contemplating this, we were like, geez, what do you do with that? What direction do you go? You know, they have a head coach in Frey Coombe and they have somebody in Kristen Press. And with Chicago Red Stars, we knew that at the time, they had a roster intact that had just come off of a championship finals appearance. They earned the runner-up in that one, and the 2-1 loss to Washington Spirit. But a roster that still had players like Amal Pugh, right? Players like in the midfield, like Morgan Gautreaux and Sarah Waldmo. Strong midfield, right? And they had players who were out with injury for large portions of the season. Alyssa Nair only getting 8 games with the club that year, and then Julie Ertz only playing 1 game and being out due to injury after the Olympics. So to see this big trade, let's just talk about it. It ended up being that the Chicago Red Stars traded Sarah Gordon, their Iron Woman center back, and Julie Ertz to Angel City, along with the international slots as well, for roster protection in the NWSL expansion drafts. And they also made an additional trade with San Diego FC, who we have obviously lower in this power ranking, but another trio of players that they're sending to San Diego FC for more roster protection. So there's a bit of a perception right now that in terms of a winners and losers in this one, that Chicago is coming away kind of bloodied and battered in this one. And you know what? You got to talk about it that way, because that is the perception. And that is what happens when sometimes there are trades. Sometimes there are winners. Sometimes there are losers. Sometimes it works out for everybody. And this one, the perception is that the two Cali teams are the ones that are making out in this one. But this all comes in light of a lot of disappointing things, right? A third finals appearance for the club in Chicago and coming away empty-handed, a bit of a scandal that they were rocked with post their exit from that, and the resignation late in the night of their former head coach, Rory Dames, in light of reports that came out following that, highlighting abusive language and environments from Dames. And this all comes within this press release that the club puts out saying that they made trades with 3 different clubs, Lisa, for multiple players. And that included somebody in Nikki Stanton going to Ol Reign. So it's like a number of players going to 3 different clubs. And one of those is Angel City. And I have to say, the fact that those 3 players right now on Angel City's roster have familiarity with each other as all former Chicago Red Stars, I think is only going to be beneficial to Angel City as they continue to build and grow their roster. So I think that's why we got to keep them at 7. And I think that's why we got to knock down Chicago at number 8, which is still a pretty high spot in these power rankings, consider that there are now 12 teams.
Sandra, it's so funny because I can't agree with you more. As you said, we did this content planning way before any of these trades happened late in this week, at the first week of December. And we had Angel City high. I think when we chatted about it, one of my arguments was that these owners for Angel City seem to want a lot. They seem to want to be winners. And sometimes confidence is key, and that's really all you need to plow through and do what you need to do. They have money that they're willing to spend on their players and on their clubs. And that can go a long way if you invest in the right things, the right players to have the right energy in the club. And that's why we put Angel City there. Then after all of the trades and things that happened, it really solidified that Angel City should be towards the top of these 12 teams in our power rankings. And that's exactly right. With Julie Ertz, Sarah Gordon now being acquired by this team, Kristen Press as well, they have a lot of star power there, which is similar to my initial reaction that Angel City has a lot of star power in their ownership. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of experience on the pitch and running things. So I think they're going to do pretty well. You also mentioned San Diego Wave, and they're a little bit farther down on our list. They've also gone through a lot of changes this year, acquiring different players throughout the team. And they're also an expansion team. And as we mentioned before with expansion teams, they tend to face rocky roads at the start of their very first season. It's a little bit harder to predict. Do they have enough momentum behind it? Do they have the right foundation for the players going into the league? And I think that's why we put San Diego a little bit lower than Angel City, because although both expansion teams, there's just something that shines a little bit brighter about Angel City. However, San Diego, they're still not even at the bottom of our list. That is very surprising. I think that says a lot about the way that these two organizations and these two clubs, San Diego and Angel City are built, that they have this culture of winning. And when you look at San Diego, they have Jill Ellis and they have Casey Stoney as their head coach. And I think that that foundation of having Stoney as the coach says a lot about how this team is going to behave and how they're going to play throughout the 2022 season. Also, nestled in between them at our number nine team is North Carolina Courage. This is a team that faced a lot of adversity going through a lot of tough conversations off the pitch, which did affect them on the pitch. And because of that, they will be going through some of the biggest changes in this offseason and going into next season, which is why North Carolina, who is traditionally a power team in this league, isn't towards the top of our list. They also lost Sam Ewis when they sent her to Kansas City, who was a big part of that midfield unit and that team. Of course, they still have players that can do a lot of things. They have Sean Nahas, who has been announced the head coach for North Carolina Courage, which I personally think is a tremendous hire for him. A lot of Courage players have come out and said that Sean Nahas is a wonderful coach. They advocated for him to stay there. I have friends that played for him at the youth level, and they really enjoy it. Playing for him and understanding the way he coaches, but not a top five team in North Carolina, but honestly, not towards the bottom either. They're ranked number nine on our list, just ahead of San Diego.
Well, I guess let's get to those final two teams. And before we get to them, gotta maybe put a disclaimer on this. We are not anti-purple on this show. Big fans of the color of that it comes in all shades. But we've got Racing Louisville at number 11. And we've got Orlando Pride at number 12. And honestly, I think when we were doing this content planning, Lisa, a big reason why we put them there is just because there were a lot of unknowns and not a lot of ideas either within that. They had missing pieces in Racing Louisville throughout their entire season. Players with talent, but unable to just really come together. The bright spot and silver lining in there, obviously somebody in Emily Fox, but this is one player in the outside back position and wanting to see a little bit more. They're going to have to make some pieces and really try to develop a spine up that pitch to really compete in this league. And they're also going to have to get themselves a head coach because Chrissy Holly was terminated for cause midseason, bringing in Mario Sanchez in the interim. And one of the first offseason moves that Racing did was say that he's actually not going to stay on in the head coaching role. So they're in the process of A, having to find a new head coach, and B, trying to maybe look at some different pieces to build up that roster in their second year now in 2022. And similar things for Orlando Pride. Also some issues with coaching. Had their coach leave midseason. Could maybe kind of point to that and say that it derailed the team in a little bit of ways. Because this was a team that went on an undefeated 7-game streak to start off the season and then really just sort of floundered throughout the remainder of that season. And there are still question marks around that team. There's new ownership in Orlando for both Orlando City and the Orlando Pride. So while they still are rumored to be connected in their head coaching search to UCLA's Amanda Crummell, that has not been made official yet. There's also the additional rumor that just got put out there, reported by Meg Linehan of The Athletic, that Allie Krieger and Ashton Harris are in conversations or potentially rumored to head to Gotham FC, but that's unofficial as of our time of recording this. And there's still question marks about somebody like Martha or Alex Morgan. What is this Orlando Pride team going to look like in 2022? We do not know. And for that reason, we've got both Racing and Orlando Pride closing things out at 11 and 12.
And it's not to be disrespectful. I do want to reiterate that. We love the color purple. And it's no disrespect to Louisville or Orlando Pride. I think that even when you look at this season for Orlando Pride, they had their moments, but it was almost like a rebuilding year or a year where it was like, let's just hang on by a thread. I think that this Pride team needs a season to kind of reset, and that could be this season. That's why they're at the end of this list, frankly, because they need that reset season to kind of establish themselves. They do have a lot of older superstar players that we could see movement around. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do. Heck, we don't even know if Alex Morgan is going to be traded and go somewhere at the time of this recording, which I wouldn't be surprised if she does. And that really changes the identity of this team as a whole. And having two clubs coming in California, I think it disrupts the roster for Orlando a little bit. And Racing Louisville, they need those pieces to keep building up an expansion team. Last year in the 2021 season, they don't tend to do well right off the bat. They need a few years under their belt to really establish themselves and get going. But I'm really pleased with our top five that we put out there, and overall trying to look at the landscape of the NWSL 2022 season with 12 teams coming in. It was a lot to digest, Sandra. It really was.
Absolutely.
I loved doing it, and I loved doing it with you and trying to predict, rub our magic ball, see what happens next year.
Same. I love that this season ended and we still had to hop right back into the action with all the offseason moves. Let's run it back for everybody one more time before we close it out. Number one, we have Washington Spirit. Number two, OL Reign. Number three, Portland Thorns FC. Number four, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Number five, Kansas City Current. Number six, Houston Dash. Number seven, Angel City FC. Number eight, Chicago Red Stars. Number nine, North Carolina Courage. Number 10, San Diego Wave FC. 11, Racing Louisville. And number 12, Orlando Pride. Thank you all for listening. I want to give you a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. If you leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts with a question, Lisa and I will answer it during our mailbag segment. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. And Lisa and I will be back on Monday with more of the off-season madness. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.